Welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
I feel like it's been forever. I mean, it has been a few weeks. We had to take a small hiatus because life got in the way, but we're here.
Small Hiatus Coyote. You ever heard that band, Hiatus Coyote?
No, should I listen?
Yeah.
Okay. David, you know, we've been obviously talking because we're friends. We talk a lot. But I just want to hear about what you've been watching. Obviously, this episode's about Maude. But just generally, I know you've been watching All American. And I want to get a little bit of a follow-up. Yep. Like, how is it going? And is there anything else that you're watching currently? I feel like it's kind of fun to hear that and maybe for our listeners to hear what else we're watching in full.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of network TV shows, so I was taken aback by just how many episodes there are per season. There were several times in which I thought All American, I was on like a season finale, but I wasn't. Just the nature of sort of a teen melodrama that a lot of episodes end like that. But I like it. I am on season 2, episode 6 right now, I think. I liked season 1 a lot. Season 2 has some good stuff in it as well, but I'm reserving complete judgment until I finish it. But I do like it. I'm a big fan of All American, South Crenshaw High School, Chargers, Beverly High School Eagles, Spencer James, Coach Billy Baker, and all the characters.
I love
of
it.
All American.
And you're watching it at the same time that your team is playing. You know, it's football season. So.
Yeah.
How is that? Like, does it get you more pumped up to watch games?
A little bit, right? Because you do get the appreciation of, like, individual efforts. That being said, some of the football on that show is a little suspect. I actually saw something on Twitter. It was a clip of the protagonist running a route in which the show put it in slow motion as if it was like a really good, but it wasn't. And actually, like, current NFL players were like, man, that looks horrible, like the way he caught the ball. And I found out that the actor who plays the protagonist is actually from the United Kingdom didn't really grow up with football. So
I'd love to
that could be part of it.
Talk to more people about that, because football is such a way of life here for a lot of people, but it's not similarly.
Not as much. It is nice watching it during football season. It kind of reinforces some of that. And actually, I think one thing I flagged in our episode was, how does the show, is it just about every football season or what? Season 2 takes place entirely in the spring, and they play in like a 7-on-7 league, like a non, like light tackling league without linemen or anything like that. So that answers that question. But it's a good show, and I enjoy it. I still have a lot of episodes to watch before I catch up, so happy about that. As far as other shows I'm watching, this really is my time of year, time of whatever television cycle. Pretty much all of the new shows I like are new right now. They're all on HBO. I really like Insecure. I really like Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I love Succession. Those all come out Sunday nights.
Great things.
Those all come out Sunday nights on Home Box Office. And Home Box Office Max, HBO Max. Check it out.
I need to do an HBO subscription, I think, this winter for a few months.
Yeah,
because
I think it's worth it.
There's some good stuff on there, and, you know, winter's in Western New York, where I am.
Winter is coming.
Is brutal, so we'll be hanging out indoors quite a bit. But I have been watching, honestly, a lot of just rewatches of shows that I tend to flip through. Although I did just watch season 3 of Netflix's You. Which
Does this take place in a new city? I know the second one was Los Angeles.
So they go, I think, towards the Bay Area, but it's not. It's more just like, it feels like a very rich area. Very, like, rich neighborhood. It's not really, like, a city per se. I mean, it is, and I don't know what it's called, but it's not, like, something you'd know right off the top of your head.
It's like Alameda or something?
It's not Alameda, but maybe it's something like that. I wish I knew the name of it. But, yeah, it's really, I really have enjoyed You. so far. So I recommend it to people. There's some pretty good acting in there, and I really like some of the actors and actresses. So yeah, excited yeah. about that, and excited about to talk about Maude. I really have been into these older sitcoms. They really did it. They did it right. So
yeah, and then there's Pod.
Pod.
Modcast.
This is the Modcast. That's probably going to yes. be the name of this episode.
The episode is going to be called And Then There's Pod. Did you hear the theme song for the show?
I did. I didn't hear all the words, but because it was happening a little bit fast for me. But I really liked it, actually.
I loved it. Yeah. Do you want to start us off? Yeah, do you want to run down the plot?
And just, again, quickly, I will just share. So this is season 4, episode 2. It's titled Consenting Adults. And it aired.
That's not the one I watched.
Uh-oh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh my
Go ahead.
Gosh. Why does he always do this to me, everyone? Anyways, Consenting Adults, it aired on September 15th, 1975. And then we watched it on YouTube. And we watched it on the Museum of Classic Chicago's television, which it was a broadcast from 1980. So there is a little bit of a discrepancy there.
That actually, it's funny because I was like, man, I didn't know this show went into the 80s.
Yeah, it didn't. Because as I say, the other things I looked up is it did run from 1972 to 1978. So we're watching it, you know, right in the midst of it. And it was on CBS. So, which Rhoda was on.
Columbia Broadcasting Station.
Yeah, so just that's kind of some background information. And I will say towards the end, I think that we're going to talk about some of the commercials because we watched the actual like television recording and we saw some vintage commercials and I have some thoughts. So,
we did. I have a few.
Yeah. So excited, but I can take it away, jump in. So obviously we loved the opening song. Basically we start off with Maude and her friend who is Rue.
Rue McClanahan, from Golden Girls.
And then I think
two Golden
Girls
actresses.
Husband, like Rue's husband in the show or something.
Yeah, I wasn't clear, but he is a regular played by Conrad Bain, who was the dad in Different Strokes.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of star power here. Or a lot of, maybe they were stars at the time, but definitely before their real big television roles. Yeah. So. Nice to see.
So Maude's husband has left her, or they were taking a break, it sounds like, or a separation, because she's running for state senate?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she's potentially running. I guess people are approaching her, sort of the...
Yeah, and she's interested. She's definitely interested.
Invisible primary, yeah.
Walter, her husband, has left over this situation. So she's like going to kind of apologize to him, but and try to like win him back or talk things through. There's a cute bit between her and Rue about being old. She's like 49 and Rue's like, this is your last chance to do something like this because you're getting so old, which I feel like 49 is not old. I'm not 49, but I'm going to try to live my life until I'm like 79.
Well, I mean, consider... This was probably a time in which there weren't that many women in state legislative seats. So that was probably considered like
absolutely.
Ancient
I feel like also then, 50 is kind of like the age of being old. Like people get so like concerned about turning 50. It's like over the hill, is it?
Over the hill.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's Maude and Rue and Rue's boyfriend, husband, partner.
Yeah, his name's Arthur. Thank the character.
You. Are there. So she like goes to apologize and she like knocks on
Well, should we mention that it's a singles complex?
Yes. Yes, you're right. So and that plays into it in a minute. So she goes to knock on his door, but it's like the wrong man's door.
Yeah.
And she starts to like immediately say like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I love you, whatever." And then like she realizes she's talking to a stranger. And it's a little bit of an uncomfortable moment because
I didn't think so.
I don't know. I was like, I kind of got a vibe from the show going in like pretty quickly that there was going to be a lot of things that were like, oh, for me and his like,
Can I just say what happened?
Yeah, please.
She knocks on the door and she's explaining to her friends, like the types of things she's going to say. Her eyes are closed. The door opens behind her. She turns around, says, I love you. And the man who opened the door is black. And there's like a pause there. And it's like, oh, you know, there's a lot of laughter. There's a studio audience. I'm thinking, okay, what's...
Yeah.
Obviously, the joke is that that's not her husband. Is the joke also that they're different races? But that is cut through when the man says, okay, you're not young enough, short enough, or dark enough, yeah, and closes the door on her. And the laughter is as much, if not more. In my mind, it turns it on his head. If you were thinking, like, oh, what a disappointment for her, he turns around on her, yeah, to say, well, I don't, who the hell is this? So I thought that was good. And I thought that was like very emblematic of like post-civil rights era, I should say. So I enjoyed that.
I did not, but that's okay. I digress. Okay. And I think for me,
Interesting. There could be a podcast about our podcast.
No, and I think the reason why is because I'm already like a little annoyed at the show, because what's going on is this woman's husband is upset that she's running for state senate. Like, that to me, like, I'm just like in that. I think like if it was a different situation, that maybe I thought I would have found it like more endearing or like better a fit for the show. But I'm just like, ugh, really? Like another just play on like things that might make me upset. And I don't know where it's going. So nonetheless,
I feel like that joke could happen now, though. Like, really? That same bit.
I don't know.
Like, could it just as easily happen? I mean, we're still...
Oh, I think it would be a little bit different.
Yeah, it would be different in the sense that they would lean into it so much that it would sort of undermine, I think, what the humor is.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. So anyways, she is like, oh, you know, kind of flustered. That's it. And then she starts to kind of like talk about how, like, even though he's living in this singles complex.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, I hate to interrupt you.
No, don't.
But there was one right after that laughter, because it sustains for a long time. They really let it sink in. She turns to her friends and says, oh, it's better to have loved and to have lost than to have never loved at all, or something.
Yeah.
So I thought that was better. I think the whole thing goes together. And I thought that actor, for his like 30 seconds on screen, owned that.
Oh, he did.
And of course B. Arthur is just fantastic, so she's killing it.
No, for sure. Yeah. She did. I had that same thought for both of them, but definitely like the whole episode, B. Arthur's just fantastic in the whole thing and just really played so many emotions of a character, which we can talk about, you know, more as we go through. But so she's talking about how he's living in this singles apartment and kind of makes this joke like, oh, but there's been no, like, young ladies around or no single women.
Oh, yeah. She says, I haven't seen any swinging chicks around or something.
And then these, like, girls walk in and from, like, tennis or something.
Tennis.
And
yeah. Young women.
Very young women, very wearing, you know, clothes that aren't maybe within
tennis gear, yeah.
Style. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you're looking for Wally, baby?
Which, yeah, I was Wally,
like,
baby.
What is this? And I now at this point, I'm like kind of like dying to see what Wally baby looks like.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, who is she dating, you know, or who's she married
to? I knew a guy in college whose nickname was his name, Baby.
I just really want to meet a Walter so I can be like, can I call you Wally baby? Just kidding. I would never do that.
I've never met a Walter, I don't think. Well, maybe I have, but just in passing.
No one, I don't have a Walter.
Oh, actually, no, I knew a Walter in high school.
Walter.
He was cool.
It's a good name, though. Like, very strong.
Yeah. Strong name. So I think one of the young women says, well, just remind him, you know, we're still on for tennis at 8 p.m. Don't be late or something.
Yeah.
Maude is visibly kind of annoyed, but I think also maybe a little amused.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So she finally gets to Walter's, and she goes in, and they're like,
There is a huge laugh line. Well, it's not even a line, but when the camera reveals what his apartment looks like, there's like 25 seconds of laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks very garish. There are pillows all over the floor. I kind of wondered, was the implication that he is, like, really leaning into single life? But I don't know that that was the implication. Maybe it was just that he moved into a singles place, and that's what that type of thing looks like.
Well, yeah. As they're, like, catching up, because they kind of catch up for a second, it's, like, really, like, awkward back and forth. She kind of says she's doing well in the primary, so she must be running, you know, that people are coming to her. And then she makes this – she kind of, like, looks around and, like, makes a joke about the apartment, and he's, like – the place seems furnished, and she responds,
"Oh yeah,
from where? The house of porn." And I thought that was actually kind of funny. I won't lie; like, I thought that was a good bit.
I thought that was very funny. She also says that she half expects Omar Sharif to walk through. He's a famous Egyptian actor. Because that was like very 70s aesthetic.
Oh, for sure.
Aesthetic, like real bizarre, like North African, Middle Eastern vibes.
Colorful.
And I say bizarre, B A. You know, as far like an open air market, not bizarre as in,
Because
I thought like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I would like go to a coffee place that looked like that.
Okay, side note, I love neutrals, but like, can we get back to like fun colors and like just vibrance?
Yes.
I need it back. Yeah. I need to bring that back in
style. That's, I've mentioned to you off air that I am watching Rhoda, and that's something I think about. When I watch that, is I just love the pops of color and things like that.
I think,
well, not just pops of color, but it's just colorful. Yeah. They don't need to try to get it in there where they can. Yeah.
So Walter and Maude are talking about how they understand each other. There's implication that they're making up. They're going to be, you know, end this separation and be together. And then Walter says, you know, Maude, you're a real woman, and a real woman belongs with her man, making the home for him, not in politics. That's a man's game. And I wrote that whole quote down because now I'm pissed off at Walter.
That, you know, what's funny is I didn't know where he was going with that initially when he said she's a real woman. Either. I was like, oh, that's great. He's going to support her. They're going to make it work. I think they're in the state of New York, so she would have to do some work in Albany during the legislative session, and they live in some other place.
Yeah, it's like downstate. Do you recall? I think it's like outside New York City, but it's nowhere I've heard of, I don't think.
And then he says that, and poor Maude can't, I mean, that's not sustainable. I mean, she's clearly running. She mentions she has ambitions beyond just what her life is, and not necessarily beyond him either. Like, she wants to make it work.
Yeah, but Walter doesn't want a part-time wife. That's what he says. So he wants a divorce.
That's what he says. Yeah,
and there's like no other choice for him.
It's so sad that he puts his head on her head and says, "You know, I'm thinking we should get a divorce." And it was I found that really tender and really, really sad. Did you have a reaction to that?
Like, I did appreciate the, like, intimacy of their relationship. Like, it did feel like it was hard for them. But I think that also I'm just like, why can't you be with her? Like, I'm confused with the issue is.
And that's the thing is, he even says, she says, I thought, you know, you were just saying that you love me. And I also drew a sad face. Yeah. I don't know if you could see it.
I just saw it.
And he says, it's because I love you. I'm letting you go. I'm letting you do this. And I know that's like in some sense, a respectable thing, but there's no reason why they can't try.
Oh, 100%.
They're in their late 40s. Maybe he's even older. Is that how the scene ends?
Kind of.
It's funny because there's only two set pieces in this entire episode.
The only thing they really talk about after that is that it comes out that Walter is her fourth husband.
I didn't know that going into this.
Yeah, me neither. That's the only other thing. And she jokes about, like, you know, getting another divorce and how, like, one of them, you know, how she's...
Barney died.
It was, like, a cute bit. Like, I liked it a lot.
And he says, well, you know, Barney died. And she says...
That's how you leave a marriage
I'm quoting. I know. He was the only husband who knew how to end a relationship.
See, that's funny. That's funny.
That is funny.
And then it goes to commercial. So then, like, the next scene, they're at it, presumably their house. They're meeting with their divorce attorneys. And they yes. start looking through old photos. And do you have any notes about this moment?
Oh, I loved it. Because it's all nonverbal, like guttural sounds.
Why were they, like, moaning? They were, like, weirdly moaning.
Oh, yeah. They were almost. Yeah. You know what's funny? I thought... if you've ever seen the show Home Improvement,
yes.
some of those kind of sounded like Tim Allen's grunts.
Yes. It was a little weird. I was like, what is happening right now?
But I liked that they let it go on for so long.
Yeah, it did because, make it funny.
Because, like, I feel like in newer shows, there's a tendency to have, like, a joke a minute. And yeah. a lot of those jokes are just references to other things. For this to have the humor so... embedded in what was happening with the plot or the characterization, I just thought that was really a breath of fresh air for me.
I agree. So then the attorneys show up and they're kind of like being snippy with each other, one-upping each other.
Right, about their cars and stuff like that.
Walter and Maude have also at some point made this like agreement that they're not going to get like emotional or like mean to each other. They're just going to like do this very civil.
It's intended to be amicable. Yes. Yeah.
And they start going through each other's assets. So immediately Maude is like, I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter. And then she's like, wait a minute. Where's my sideboard? You know, it's potential. It's this.
What is a sideboard, Krista?
I looked up what a sideboard is because I didn't know.
Okay.
It is similar.
I thought maybe this was just like a cultural thing that I was like, I'm going to ask Krista what this is. I have no idea.
It is similar to a buffet. So it's almost
what is that?
Imagine in like your dining room, a very large piece of furniture where you maybe set, like you could set things on top of it, but it has storage. Sure. So it might have like cupboards or like drawers. It might be very elegant. But I think sideboards don't like go up. Like it's just like almost like the size of an entertainment stand.
Can you see my screen?
Similar to that, but probably only the second half. The bottom half of it. I don't think it goes up, but I'm not entirely sure.
It wouldn't go up. It's not like a curio cabinet.
No, it's not yet. Or like a hutch or anything. It's like, that's what I just Googled sideboard and that's similarly like what came up. But, apparently it's a collector's item and it's like the first one that JCPenney ever put out, which I thought was like,
that's right.
Just perfect. I loved that.
That's funny. I like that.
So she's like freaking out about that. And then I'm not really sure like what goes on with that. I think
he's like, I don't want your
sideboard
or something.
So then they start going through his assets and Maude finds out Walter has a secret bank account with $8,000 in it, $8,000.
$8,000, which, back then I looked
Me
it up.
Me too.
Did you also?
Yes.
West Egg inflation calculator?
Well, I just Googled it.
It's like, over $25,000. Oh, shoot. Actually, I did it for 1980 because I was looking at the error date. We should do it for 74. Do you recall what it was?
Whatever I Googled, which is just like the first thing that came up, I didn't really do like much deep dive.
Oh, okay. I have
tell
it.
Tell me.
$42,000.
That's what I had.
$42,645.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
That's a good chunk of change. And I mean, I don't know. We don't really find out what their like class wealth level is in the show. It's not like it's apparent. You don't get the vibe that they're like filthy rich or dirt poor.
And back then there was a middle class.
Yeah.
So even if only one of them was working, they could have a nice house. And I imagine both of them were working.
Right.
Just given the tenor of the show.
So it feels very
I'm looking
like,
up what Maude's profession.
Okay. Yeah. Cause as I say, it feels very like they're making it work, but it doesn't feel like they just have $8,000 sitting around. And to me, that's a huge amount of money to be keeping secret in a relationship. Personal thoughts. And apparently Maude thought the same thing.
Yeah, that's a lot. Like initially when I just heard 8,000, I was like, yeah, I mean,
like, that's kind of weird, but why would you keep it a secret? But maybe it was really an oversight. But when you translate it into, like, how much it is, it feels more like a secret than an oversight.
Yes. And I thought where they were going with that was that maybe Walter was having an affair.
Oh.
Or involved in crime.
I did not think that. I kind of thought, like...
They
he was just doing that to hide it from her because she made her own money. Thought
they were going to get divorced.
Yeah, like that's what I got. That was where I was thinking. But
oh, interesting. They employ housekeepers.
Oh.
On the mod Wikipedia page, so they must have some change. So maybe it wasn't that big of a... I mean, $42,000.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money. Well, while you're looking for it, I think I can just kind of sum up the rest because there's not a lot left. But Ma, so they start, then they kind of start fighting over this photo album that they were like looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And then Maud rips up their favorite photo. And then he's mad about it, leaves. And then she, you see her like put the photo, like try to put the pieces of the photo back together. And then it ends, correct?
Yeah, it did. And there was a lot of time left on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
And there was like 8 minutes of commercials that I did not watch. And I thought, okay, maybe, because a lot of sitcoms, right, it'll end, but then there'll be a little bumper at the end.
Yeah, like
a
little bit. Was there?
But there was not.
I didn't think so. I like kind of just tried to see, but yeah, so we left with Maud trying to put this photo back together, which is probably a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Also, the studio audience like applauded when she put the photo back together. Did you notice
that? Yeah, it was odd.
People were like, "What?"
It was like an odd feeling from the audience to listen to while watching that scene, because I felt like you were supposed to feel a little sad and like, oh my god, you know, she realized she made a mistake with ripping it up. So yeah, overall, like thoughts about this episode and Maud in general.
I thought it was fine. There were some, oh, they live in Tuckahoe, New York.
Tuckahoe, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Walter owns an appliance store called Finley's Friendly Appliances. Unclear what she does.
Hmm.
But then again, that was a long time ago. Oh, okay, here we go. Occupation, housewife, real estate agent. And then,
oh, yeah. Spoilers. He does say something about selling a house and getting money from it, remember?
Oh, I do not
remember. It was like one line. Because he knows the exact amount that she got paid. He's like, oh, it's $2,437 or something.
Okay.
Which must
have been interesting. It's funny, they met during the Democratic National Convention in 1968, which famously was a huge riot. That's interesting.
That is interesting, because then they like fell in love there, but like he's upset but, now that she wants to be involved in politics.
Well, I mean, that's like a typical like hypocrite though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk about Walter.
The thing, a lot of times men, what they like about their partners, they no longer like when it becomes a little inconvenient for them.
Fair. Okay. My thoughts on Maud. I liked it. I didn't dislike this episode or the show. I would give the show a watch. If I had similar feelings to this episode throughout the show, I probably would not finish it. I felt very like defensive, I think, through this episode.
Yeah, we should mention Krista's Gen Z.
No, I'm not. We have this argument all the time on this show, on this podcast. I am not Gen Z. But without obviously getting too much into it,
I do like Gen Z.
Oh, yeah. I'm just not.
Shout out to all the Gen Zers.
No, that's nothing against being Gen Z. I don't fall within that group. I, without, you know, giving away too much personal information, I've studied politics throughout my, you know, college years. So at one point I was much more involved and wanted to be more involved. So to hear some of those comments in any context is just really frustrating, especially because I've heard those comments in my own life, maybe not to that degree, but to just kind of hear like, oh, a woman's place is not there. And it's like, that's just bullshit at the end of the day.
You know where a woman's place is?
In the House and the Senate.
Yeah. Yep. You know it.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. You've seen that shirt?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that shirt? Yeah, it's good. It's good times. I agree. I mean, it's a relic of its time, but I mean, that perhaps is the value of a show like Maud, putting that in people's living rooms so they could talk about it or say, oh yeah, maybe I used to think like that, but now I don't.
No, I agree. And I did read the Wikipedia shout out to Maud. Page, and it did. This show does hit on a ton of controversial topics. So to me, I think this is just the perfect example of a show that really focuses so, like, zooms in on one thing, and you get caught up in that because we haven't seen any of the before or after, and we can't see those other moments where you can, like, cheer for characters and, or, like, not cheer for them, I guess. But, yeah, they do cover a lot of issues. Suicide, drugs, domestic violence, anxiety, mental health, and I'm very curious to watch these episodes, abortion. Maud has an abortion.
I had heard about Maud. You know, like those old programs when they're like, oh, most shocking moments in television or whatnot. And yeah, that was a huge deal, Maud getting an abortion. Yeah. I wonder how they talked about it, because Maud, they do mention she's in her late 40s.
I'm unsure, but I know that there's a few episodes that go over it, so I'm assuming it follows her journey, like, post-procedure. Yeah. Interesting timing, that aired a few months before Roe v. Wade. I would have thought it would have been after.
Interesting. And also, they're very wealthy, so it's always been available for wealthy people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it's the case that it's illegal in the United States or anywhere in the United States, again, wealthy people will always have access to that.
So not to obviously go down, because obviously we're hitting on a lot of very controversial topics, both that the show covers and that we're talking about here. They must not be religious.
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
There's nothing in this episode that indicated that they were.
I wonder if Walter is, I guess, is my bigger question. It's just more, I think for me it's interesting because I think the 70s, religion was still more, what's the word? I don't want to say popular, but like more centralized in homes. And we're starting to get away from it a little bit at that point. We're starting to question it, I guess.
You heard it here first, folks. Krista says Maud killed God.
Oh my God.
Oh my Maud.
How did you like pull that together?
I'm hearing Sean Hannity here. I'm hearing Rush Limbaugh. This is the downfall of God in the home.
Listen.
That's what I'm hearing.
Visibly pissed off at Walter for being just mean. And having bad views. I mean, he did, so.
I wonder how old Walter's supposed to be. Is he supposed to be, like, much older than
him? Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. Men in the 70s, by the way, they all looked quite old. They all look old.
They do. I don't disagree with that. They probably weren't using good skincare products.
Yeah, I mean, but men still don't.
I think but men care a little bit more.
Some are better about
it.
I think also maybe men's soap, like, you know, like, the whole trope about men's soap is, like, 6-in-1, cleans your tires, shampoo. They probably do put a little bit of formula in there that's better for, like, face.
Yeah. Skincare is not just for women.
No, of course not. It's for everybody. Everyone has skin.
Taking care skin of it is super game. Important. So I 100%, like, take care of your skin.
Yeah.
Wear sunscreen. Wash your face.
Oh, absolutely. The sun's not great for you. So,
Do we want to do heat thermometers and then talk about commercials, or do we want to talk about commercials and then do heat thermometers?
Let's do heat thermometers first.
This is going to be a hard one for me.
Okay, you should go first on this one, because I think I went first on the last one. I don't recall.
Yes,
but I think so.
Okay, I got it. Three, two, one. 55.
68.
Okay. I'm really neutral. I'm in a very neutral space with this. I need a little bit more to see if I like it or not. And like I said, the episode that we randomly picked obviously just kind of pissed me off because.
Interesting.
Walter is mean.
I'm gonna. Ready?
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
68.
72.
All right.
Yeah, okay. I support women, so I gave it a higher rating.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
We have a Walter bro over here.
I support women, and that's why I gave it a low rating, because Walter was a big part of that episode, and he did not support women. So this is an episode that I am getting too hyper-focused in the actual happenings of the episode instead of
like, in the content
instead of looking at the storyline. I know I'm doing that.
I'm looking at the the form.
No, 100%. I'm doing that with this, but you know what? I'm gonna watch another episode of the show before our next pod. And
I would be willing to watch another episode. In fact,
just because I want to know.
I remember when when cable channels would show shows from this era back to back to back, and I feel like this is something that I could have watched back then. I don't know that cable TV's like that anymore.
I know.
I feel like all the shows that they show on repeat are current shows and things like that. So I am interested in seeing more mod.
Me too.
The type of setting in which I could really see myself getting this in, I don't know if it exists anymore, and that's a shame on mod.
David, do you like mod or Rota better as shows for shows?
I like Rota. Well, that's
like
hard.
For shows, I actually think
you have such.
Okay, continue. Yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
You have such great leads in both shows. I mean, B. Arthur. There's really no one funnier than B. Arthur in these. She's like in her environment. But Rhoda is very funny. Valerie Harper is also extremely funny. I don't know. The interesting thing about Maude, I've seen more episodes of Rhoda than Maude. Yeah. I think I like the vibes of Rhoda better.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You should watch. Can you watch both?
Yeah, I'll
and
watch
let
a
me
few
know?
Episodes of both.
Because I am curious. I wonder if that says something about me. But I'll say Golden Girls is one of my favorite shows. Ever
yeah.
so
here is yeah. I so like I loved Rhoda, and I know that I gave this a lower rating, and I know I'm admitting my weaknesses why I gave it a low rating. I think I liked the show Rhoda better in a one episode instance.
Yeah.
When it comes to leads,
yes.
I think you're completely correct. Both have amazing actresses. I think I root the Maude character on more. And again, I connect with her a little bit more because of the politics, because of that struggle. I've been
interesting that
been on a different level, very smaller level, but been there. And I think that's why, on the same token, I'm getting more angry.
What if you found out that Maude had like horrible politics? I mean, because just based on this episode, you don't really get a sense of what.
I guess I'd have to know what the
like. What if she was like running to like on a homophobic platform like.
Yeah.
There was that woman, Anita Bryant or something like that.
I mean, I wouldn't be pumped.
Did you write down
I
any?
I did. I wrote them all down.
I think I remember. Oh, you did write them all. Good.
I'm a freak.
Can we test my memory? Was the first one about Pampers?
Huggies.
Huggies. And it was a baby. Yep. And they say that this baby is like a PhD or something,
yeah.
or a professor. And he invented the first disposable Huggies, and now they have an even better one. They don't necessarily say how it's better, but... Or I guess it's more absorbent. It was a cute commercial, though.
Put this commercial on TV today, like the same form of it, and just updated, you know,
yeah.
the filming and the child, I would see it would be fitting in today. You, like it's
yeah,
a timeless commercial.
Me too.
It's completely like there's
me
nothing.
Me too. And here's the thing:
it's easy done.
All the technology they mentioned, like nobody has any idea if they're telling the
right.
truth about that.
And it feels like the same.
Like
message.
Oh, it's more absorbent.
Great. It keeps getting more absorbent. Yeah.
One of my coworkers had a baby, or she was about to have her baby, and we had something in the office for her, and I think there was some sort of thing where you could bring a box of diapers.
I like that.
And I work above, well, you know, I work in a building, and below that is a CVS, and I went to the diaper aisle and I had no idea what I was looking for because there's not a lot of information on there other than absorbent. So I just bought one that I recognized from television commercials, and it was probably Huggies or Pampers. I wanted a nice, reliable one, and I figure they've been making these diapers for a long time, which is apparent in this commercial. No pun intended.
I'm trying to look up the price of diapers.
And remember, this is for 1980 when this commercial aired.
I did 75. In
maybe they still had cloth diapers.
The
knows?
Cost of a pack of diapers was about $26, which is expensive. That's a lot of money. That doesn't
well,
seem right.
In 75? That's a lot. Remember, we had that inflation, though, but that was That was put in like 78, I think.
This one says that in 1970, a diaper was about 10 cents each. That seems more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, they should be, they probably cost like 5 cents to make even
today. Diapers are crazy expensive. Diapers and formula are like just unbelievably expensive. And my heart goes out to parents who are struggling to afford those types of things. And it's real. I mean, formula is like really expensive. And sometimes you don't
have a choice. There should be a state-owned diaper company that like makes them at a good, at cost or free. And then like the Pampers lobbyist will throw a fit. And then people be like, oh, look at that baby. What a big baby.
He needs to wear a diaper. I just think that scamming people in that sense, it's a scam. But we're not going to go down that.
Yeah, there's probably like price fixing too, like Huggies and Pampers. Like, what are you going to charge? What are you going to charge? Okay, let's not charge lower than this.
And now there's like organic diapers. I'm like, why can't they all just be organic and healthy?
Yeah, I wonder if there's a movement towards maybe people our or people my age.
There it is. There it is, folks.
For the cloth.
I've seen cloth that back. Coming back because, I mean, also there's like an environmental aspect to
crunchy,
that.
Crunchy, yeah.
Okay, so that was the first commercial. Second one was Hot Iron Cleaner.
Yeah, I looked up, the woman's like, hi, I'm Debbie Meisner or whatever.
Or I never heard of her.
Merritt, I looked her up and could not find anything.
So, she's fake. Very dated commercial.
Yeah.
Very dated.
Her name was on the screen and everything, so I was like, oh, is she an actress? Very dated. It's for a hot iron. Is it just the iron?
No, it's the cleaner for the iron.
Oh, you don't just put distilled water in there?
No, it's for the outside.
Oh, the outside.
If your iron
okay.
gets, like, gross on the outside.
Oh, interesting. I wasn't paying that much attention to it, clearly. I think because I was Googling. And I noticed at the end they said, find it at Walgreens.
I said that too, which is cool.
That's cool.
The third one was Chicago Health and Racquetball Club.
Oh, I liked that commercial.
That had some 80s porno vibes for me.
Oh. I thought...
Can I go into like a little bit of a personal memory? Do you remember a night where me and you went to a happy hour?
Oh, no. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I know exactly what you're getting at.
In the music videos that were on.
That thing.
The TV.
They were showing...
That...
Yeah, it was like dance music from the 80s. And the videos were...
They were...
It was like gay, like erotic stuff. I think a lot of it was gay. Well, I don't know.
I was
going to
say, overall, the vibe matched that commercial for me.
Even if there were like heterosexual people in it, there was like a sort of homoerotic like lens to it. Like, you know, people say like Top Gun, it's like a movie. Guy movie, but like a lot of close up shots of like men's bodies and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care. Like, that's fine. Like, we're at a bar, but
I just like remember that montage of music that night and watching those music videos.
That's right.
And a lot of it was music I didn't know. Like, it's like, it sounded like stuff I would know, but I wasn't like, oh, I love this song, I know it. It was great music.
Yeah, it wasn't like huge music videos or anything. It was
so
interesting.
So that just like overall, like the aesthetic of that matched this vibe for me, and that's probably why I'm almost like, oh, 80s porno vibes. It's probably not that bad. It's just in my mind, I connect.
Yeah, it was
to that
for the audience. It was like a woman talking about
working out,
staying in shape, and she's doing like working out. She's doing like leg presses. I think it shows her swimming pool. She's like in a sort of swimsuit, some arm pulling them in. And I thought, oh, is this for like home gym equipment?
I thought that's what it was.
That looks very sophisticated.
Well. Or I thought that's what it was for.
I was like, it's like pre Bowflex. But no, it's for the Chicago Health and Racquet Club.
Yes.
I guess.
Which leads
Seems
which
cool.
leads me to the fourth commercial, which was a advertisement for
Time Life?
No, you missed one. Cubs baseball.
Chicago
Cubs
you see a lot of shots
versus
of...
the Montreal Expos, which don't exist anymore.
You know who they became? The Washington Nationals.
Shut up, really?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Fun. Everything comes
Although,
full circle.
They're sort of they might bring back baseball in Montreal. The Tampa Bay Rays they're talking to the commissioner about splitting time between Tampa and Montreal.
Oh my God. I am so dumb sometimes. Oh my God.
Mm.
I was just going to, I'm going to laugh at myself. Y'all, it's been a long day. I was just going to say, I was going to ask, does Canada have any MLB teams?
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Who I've went to a Toronto.
Oh yeah, you went to the
Blue Jays game this summer. That's why I'm laughing at myself, right? Because I'm like, that's so funny. Oh my goodness.
Oh, you got so used to them being in your backyard. Yeah,
maybe I just like didn't equate them with being in the majors because my city doesn't have a major league baseball team. But I digress.
One quick note about that. Very like 80s style, like film cinematography, like just multiples of the same shot on the screen at once. You do see a quick glimpse of something interesting. I don't know if you know this, but when pitchers hit the ball and they get on base, because pitchers don't really hit that much, but when they get on base, they have the option to wear a jacket over their uniform.
I didn't know this.
And in this clip, you see a brief glimpse of a pitcher sliding into home plate, which is really gutsy stuff, and he's wearing the jacket, and I thought that's just one of those weird baseball oddities that you don't see a whole lot.
I'm not a big baseball fan, although I do love, I love going to like a live
to the ball
to the ballpark, you know. The next one is Time Life Books, which is helping DIYers do things at home. And
awesome, that commercial would do really well today. I think
you think so.
Well, maybe not, because people just go on YouTube, but I feel like people would appreciate a book sent to their house that has diagrams about how to do basic stuff.
They'd be like, can I download this on my Kindle?
Yeah, you know what? Time Life is still around, so.
No, I mean, it was a cool commercial, cool idea.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. It shows a person unclogging a drain on their sink, which I do know how to do, but good to have that. I liked it.
Yeah, no.
Do you recall the price? Because you have to order it from them, right?
I don't recall the price because I know the price.
Are they based out of Chicago, too? I feel like I heard them mention Chicago.
Yeah, or somewhere in Illinois.
Illinois. Yeah. Oh, they're a subsidiary of some conglomerate now, I guess.
After that, it was a commercial for the Taylor Business Institute, which was like...
Oh, yeah. Interesting. The first line in that commercial was like... You probably were told to go to college, but that's not for everyone. And I was thinking,
I
hear that a lot these days.
Thing,
you know?
Which is weird because it was a business, like
a business.
It was almost like a business trade. Yeah, I've never heard something.
Yeah,
like that.
So I guess secretarial work, something like that.
Oh, that maybe makes sense.
Back then, too, like pre-internet, you probably had a lot more people doing some of these little tasks and stuff. So.
Big tasks sometimes.
Like, you probably, well, I mean, big tasks for sure, but things that are automated now, like, I would guess, I don't know, but maybe your office had somebody that just knew how to do the printer.
Oh my God.
Whereas now,
I don't even know
how to use the printer. Now printers are allegedly easier, but you have like, you outsource like your IT or something.
That's so someone false. I get so frustrated with the printers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because sometimes they don't work and I'm like,
I don't like them. We just went back to the office and I can't get anything to print, so I'm going to try to figure that out this week.
Boy. And the last commercial, guys, sorry, I can't speak tonight. Do I like do this every week? I just don't know how to talk. Was for the SSG supersonic glider.
Oh yeah. That plane. Okay. It's funny because it looks like a drone.
It does look like a drone.
And I'm like. And there's no motor on it. You just throw it.
It's like probably
and they
a
mentioned that there's
plane.
Like space-age materials or something.
Okay, the SSG
NASA
gives me some Soviet vibes. SSG. I don't know why.
Really? Just the name or the actual
like,
product?
No, just the name. Like SSG gives me some Soviet vibes, which is like interesting because we're still in the Cold War.
SSG, I remembered what I associate that with. That's like the Pakistani Special Forces.
Oh.
I read that book, Ghost Wars, in college, and that they're pretty big part of that.
Overall commercials, they were fine. Some of them were definitely like dated.
Heat thermometer?
Of all of them?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 75.
94. Interesting. I thought you liked them.
Yeah, maybe it should be a little higher. Some of them were confusing for me, I think.
What was the most baffling one you thought?
Okay. I want to say, I think for me, the Chicago Health one, because I really thought it was for home gym equipment. So when it went to that, I was like, wait, what? Like, I was really confused. But that wasn't,
you don't really,
like,
see ads for local gyms anymore.
Yeah. Well, Planet, well, I don't know. I don't really watch enough, I guess.
To... Local oh, though. No. I mean, like regional, like Washington Sports Club or something. Maybe you do. I don't know. I didn't have a terrestrial. Yeah.
Yeah. What about yours? What's your heat thermometer on them?
Like 90, yeah. They're fine. I'll also say, I wonder what time of day this aired, because maybe this aired, like, you know, it was a rerun, so it didn't air, and it was after the show was off the air, so it didn't air in prime time, so maybe, I'd imagine, like 4 p.m., maybe even noon, maybe even, like, midnight. These are the types of ads they wanted people to see, because you didn't see Coca-Cola, you didn't see...
Can we talk about that?
What's that?
People. I thought for the most part, almost all of these were very much targeted towards an audience of women who were probably watching mod. Like, there was some, you know, some of that. The only one that doesn't fit that theory of mine, I think, is the Cubs baseball commercial. But
right.
Also,
that could still be, like, targeted towards families.
Families.
Watch the game.
Other thing I noticed is that not one of those commercials had a person of color.
Here we go.
In them.
Yeah,
I noticed things like that.
Well, which maybe. maybe because I know Chicago is divided up in between the north and south side, so maybe this aired on the north side because the commercials for the Cubs and not the White Sox, which is on the south side.
I never would have thought.
That. Yeah, so I think. Maybe it was primarily white people who were watching.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Was commercials targeted that, like, geographically focused at this time? Does that make sense, my question?
Well, yeah. I mean, the commercial, it was a local station playing it. So that's why the ad was for Chicago Health Club and not, I don't
know. Right.
Los Angeles.
But I guess
Health
if you're
Club.
Like on the south side of Chicago or in the, and there's no Chicago Health and Racket Club, was it not even on that one type thing?
Maybe they figured, well, I mean, that's the thing. Advertisers buy the time based on what the program is and whatnot. Yeah. So they probably figured white people watch Maude.
Yeah.
Whereas if the next hour, or the next half hour was the show Benson, or something, you know, which was a black sitcom. Maybe it had broader appeal. But if they probably figured if more black people were watching,
they would.
You might see ads for things that are targeted, yeah. Or they, you know, that might be more likely be bought by black Chicagoans, or maybe even the same ads,
but with
different actors.
Yeah,
yeah,
I would be curious.
Sure.
I don't know. I've just. Obviously, like, commercial advertising has changed so much in the past few years because of streaming and all of that.
Internet.
I'm just curious, like,
micro-targeting.
How at the, you know, when it was, like, at its highest point, how targeted it was, I guess, in geographically.
Well, we actually can do a case study on this because the channel that we watch this on, the YouTube channel, has a bunch of programs on it, including the one I mentioned, Benson. So if they have commercials on it, we could very well see if they were different.
I mean, honestly, like I said, I'm going to watch a couple more episodes of Maude. So I'll kind of keep an eye out for just some of the commercials to see, like, if it's kind of all the same, similar themes, I guess.
Yeah.
Do we want to spin the wheel to see what we're watching next week?
Oh, yeah.
And we're doing a 45-minute episode,
Yeah, 45 to an hour. Yeah. I have the long... I have a wheel up that...
Ooh,
oh.
Interesting.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Okay.
This is a half-hour show if we're talking about the one from the 90s.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about the show Sabrina, which does not have Teenage Witch in the title, are those an hour? On Netflix?
I don't know.
So I'd be willing to watch either one.
Oh, the Netflix series.
Yeah.
Well, we said we were going to do a 30-minute one, so I think we stick with this, because that's we could definitely do that higher. But I do...
For the week after.
I do think we should... I watched, I think, the...
Almost yeah, those are an hour.
First season of this.
Okay, we could do one from any point in the program.
So...
Okay, let's do that. Let's do a back-to-back...
Like, record two Sabrina, in a night, kind of? And then Sabrina... Situation? Or...
I don't know oh, about okay,
so
all that.
Oh, okay, so, like, watch so. Just one for... Just watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
We'll record. And then we'll we won't watch have Sabrina. To re-spin afterwards. We'll just go right to...
Yeah, love yeah. It. There we go.
Okay. Cool. Love that. Well, folks, you're in all for right. A treat. Well, we haven't done this before. We're doing something new.
A trick or treat?
Oh, spooky. Yeah. I already have... That's funny. I already have notes... in my mind about Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Interesting. Oh, are they about the downfall of religion and the public
Y'all,
sector being
no,
evident by shows like
has
Sabrina
a black
the Teenage
cat,
Witch?
And I'm obsessed with black cats. I love them. I have, well.
I love black cats.
I have two at home.
What's that cat's name?
I had three and one passed away. So.
Oh, man. What's the cat in the show's name?
Do you know?
I'm blanking right I now, to, but
what,
it's something.
Yes, I've, what is it?
Hold on. Give me a hint when you find it. Salem. The cat's name Salem. Salem. Yeah. I knew it.
Have you ever been to yeah, Salem? Yeah. Oh, okay. My God. See? I went to Salem.
No,
over
never been.
On a solo trip when I went to Boston. I went to Salem.
I've not been to Salem, Massachusetts. I've not been to Salem, Oregon.
Oh, I forgot about Salem, Oregon.
If there's a Salem, Maine, I've not been there either.
I have a really good story about Salem that I'm going to share next time.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.